And we're back again. Three Amigos MMA podcast, recapping UFC 222 from Las Vegas last night. Great event to talk about. So many fights now coming out of this. We're also going to talk about some recent events and a few highlights on those cards. So, yeah, what do you guys think last night?
Amazing night, man. Really good event, man. Lots of upsets, not too many decisions. Everyone was on form. Really good show, good crowd. Las Vegas was on fire last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was impressed, man. It was a good card for sure. Some real impressive performances that we will analyze in detail. Some that made me very, very happy indeed. And a new star as well, a new proper prospect up and coming in the ranks, one to watch out for sure, which is always an exciting thing to see. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Some great fights and some good finishes, some crazy finishes. And let's not waste any time. Let's get straight into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Herb Dean has called a stop to this contest at 3 minutes, 25 seconds of the very first round. Declaring the winner by TKO and still the undisputed UFC featherweight champion of the world, Chris Cyborg.
Cyborg Kunitskaya. I mean, guys, we didn't give her much of a chance going in, but she actually lasted longer than I thought, and Cyborg got the finish at the end of the first round. What did you think, Leah?
Yeah, I mean, Yana went in this as a plus 800 underdog,
yeah,
which kind of says how it was going to go, but she gave it a good fight. I mean, you could see from the get-go, Chris has these really sick punches. Every punch she landed just really hurt Yana. Right. Like, you could see the pain in her face, blow to the face, blow to the stomach.
Every shot she didn't like.
Yeah, she had a last-ditch effort, and she just had to grab Cyborg's leg. And it was really funny to watch, man, the way she grabbed that front leg and took her down. But she managed to hold her against the fence for about 2 or 3 minutes, which was impressive. Definitely. So that shows she is a strong person. But Chris Cyborg is just too comfortable on the feet, man. No one can test her in terms of stand-up. So. No.
Oh, man, she didn't let me down, man. I love Chris Cyborg. I'm a huge fan, and she fucking got her business done. Brutal, man. I'm telling you, her striking's improving. She's always had the power. She's always had the ferociousness. But now she's like, the last few fights, man, she's like proper, like biding her time. She's got her head movement. She's got footwork going on. Her punches are getting more and more crisp. Better and better at the moment. I think she's really, really entering her prime. She looks absolutely sensational. And I just want to say that at the beginning of the fight, as you said, Leo, Kunitskaya, she showed her strength, showed her grappling. As soon as she got tagged from Cyborg, she wanted none of that. So she grappled and pushed her up against the cage. And Joe Rogan was like making a huge deal out of it.
Yeah.
He was, oh, wow, this is an amazing thing. So you know you're good when if someone puts you up against the cage for about 10 seconds, it's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah. He couldn't believe it. He was like, I mean, when she got the hooks in, when she got her down, it was a second there where you were like, oh, shit. But
that's true.
I mean, you could see, I mean, Cyborg, I thought Joe was kind of making too much of a big deal because you could see Cyborg just had this cheeky little grin on her face. Like, when I get out of this, I'm going to fuck your life up.
Yeah, she did not look worried for a second.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, like you said, every time she got hit, it just reminded me of, like, Brock Lesnar, like, when he was getting tagged by Kane and just did not like it and was just cowering down, like,
make it stop.
And I really loved the finish when she was just pounding her up against the fence and she ended with, like, a Hulk smash. Did you see that?
Yeah, man. Just hammer fist down on her, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just bang.
It was just the ultimate, like, finish. Like, the ref was like, okay, that's enough. No more Hulk smashes.
And do you not think she just looks like in even better condition than, like, a couple of years ago? She looks even better now.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Her last fight against Holly was only a couple months ago. And, you know, she took this on, I think, 3 weeks' notice, she said.
Yeah.
And it's like she said, she stays in shape, and like, you know, until they find a contender for her, you know, like, she is miles ahead of most of these girls.
Yeah, I mean, she looked fresh after the end of this fight. Like, she looked like she could fight next week if she wanted to.
Yeah, she didn't take any
damage. Oh, man, at night she could have fought them.
Yeah.
And it was good to see her get on the mic, and first thing she said was, you know, Amanda Nunes, you've been running your mouth. Like, started this, now you got to come handle it. Like,
UFC bantamweight champion, you believe that will be your next fight?
I know, Brazil against Brazil, for me it's sad, but I don't want to make this fight, and she calling me out, and when you call cyber wild, you have to handle it.
Yeah,
so I mean, that's the fight we were talking about before. Like, who is the girl that could actually step up there and like looks like she could hang with her with the striking?
Yeah,
I mean, Nunes is the one to do that. Maybe she can put on a bit of muscle and really like bring the fight to Cyborg.
Yeah, I'd love to see that, man. Imagine Amanda Nunes with more muscle. Like, that would be great to see.
She's the only one that even you can compare striking-wise. You know, she's really accurate. And they were talking about at the end how, you know, she hits you with, like, the end of her punches. She's really technical.
Yeah.
And it's just, can she still take a punch like that? She hasn't been hit like anyone again. That would be the thing.
Yeah.
But what do you think, Eric, that fight?
Super excited, man. And I was super excited about Cyborg just coming up and very matter of fact, very like serious business kind of mug on, saying, yeah, Amanda Nunes, let's bring it on. This is exactly the fight that we've been talking about. We mentioned in the last podcast, didn't it? This is the fight. This is the woman's fight to make. So it would be sick, man. It would be brilliant. I mean, I'm backing Cyborg all the way if that fight were to materialize, but Nunes is a very, very crisp and powerful strike, so it should be good. But I don't know, man, I don't think there's a woman alive who can take Cyborg's power, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine right now. I just can't even see it at all right now. I was saying to Alan, like, the women's featherweight division needs like a female Ngannou to just turn up. But it ain't happening anytime soon.
What did you call her?
Ningana. Said we need a Ningana. Like, we want to make a shout out to the Ninganas out there, and get you on the roster. Come on. I'm working on the poster, man. It'll be ready soon.
Wanted Ningana.
Keep watching the Instagram, man. It'll be up soon.
Fucking hell. So yeah, on that note, let's move on to the co-main. Brian Ortega, TCE, stepping up against Frankie Edgar.
Oh my god.
And again, it didn't last the round.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Jason Herzog has called a stop to this contest at 4 minutes, 44 seconds of the very first round, declaring the winner by knockout, Brian TCE.
Amazing. I mean, everyone was saying, was he ready for this next step up in competition? And he's proved it again, this time with the knockout.
Oh my god, I can't believe he did it by knockout in the first round. Ortega, man, he just gets better every single fight, and this time he just absolutely rose to the occasion, man. He stole the night.
Yeah.
He absolutely stole the night.
And it wasn't going his way.
Frankie was all over him with his fancy footwork, you know, throwing those punches, landing, getting around him, throwing a few leg kicks. But Ortega looked so calm and confident in
there. Yeah, he did.
And it was so impressive, man. And when he knocked him down, like, Frankie looked like a little school kid, I thought. He went off his feet and he went down really hard. What did you think, Eric, man?
I'm so pleased, man. I'm so pleased. I've been on the Brian Ortega hype train almost since his debut in the UFC, man. I spotted him out and I'm so excited, man. He took my breath away. Like, he wasn't supposed to win, yet alone win so convincingly. Do you know what I mean? Hmm. Like, anyone who knows anything about MMA and Brian Ortega, I'd say don't engage with his grappling. Yeah, you don't want to like even hit the mat with him because he just finishes people up like out of nowhere. And that's how Frankie was fired. He was like, right, we're in box. And I was like, I'm not going to wrestle with you. I don't want to grapple for you. Don't want none of your submission. I'm going to box. And as you said, Frankie was doing his thing. He looked very, very sharp. And Brian Ortega wasn't having none of it, man. He was having none of it. He came out to show his boxing prowess, and this guy can strike. He is not two-dimensional in any way, man. He was the first guy to knock out Clay Guida with a standing knee. Do you know what I mean? He's done it before. Mm. But to Frankie Edgar, the man cannot be stopped. He'd never been finished in his life.
Crazy.
And that elbow. He opened up with that elbow. Wow, that's brutal, man.
The quickness of that was just unbelievable. Like, Frankie was doing these, like, chase forward kind of flurries, isn't it?
Yeah, everything that hit him afterwards was just on top of it. Like, you know, that elbow was what knocked him, man. Yeah, he didn't know what was what after that.
He was just trying to hang on.
He took his time, innit? He took his time. He took a couple of steps back and then uppercutted the life out of him.
You saw him just sizing it up, like, for about a minute in the slow-mo replay. Like, you could just see it coming, and, oh, man, it just made me think, like, he just knocked him up in the air, and it's like, he knocked him out of his slippers, like, he just did. Flying off his feet. He looked like an old man for that moment, just frozen. Frozen in time.
That got everyone on their feet, man. Oh, that was such a punch.
And the hammer fist afterwards, like. But yeah, he just...
How much bigger did Ortega?
Yeah,
man?
He's a featherweight. I can't believe he's a featherweight.
He was huge against Frankie, man.
Mm.
That's it, man. He's a problem. Straight up, he's a problem in that division, Brian Ortega.
Yeah. And like you said, he just looks so relaxed and calm. And oh, man, it's like really... really looking forward to see him now. Like, obviously it looks like he's going to get the Max Holloway fight. Dana said it afterwards. We're just waiting for Holloway to heal up. And that is just going to be crazy. Like, both
such
of them.
Such a good fight, man. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. I mean, they're both, like, really rangy as well. Like, you know, and I mean, poor Frankie, like, he had that title fight and it's just got taken away from him now.
Oh,
like,
no, he hit rock bottom.
I was just going to say, you got to feel sorry for Frankie Edgar, man.
He took on whoever. He said, give me whoever, like, do you know what I mean? And now he's just got knocked back, like.
But yeah, super excited about the Ortega-Holloway fight, man. Two young, hungry, confident, highly skilled, well-rounded fighters. That is a pick-em fight if you've ever seen one, man. That's be incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, an early contender for knockout of the year there as well.
Definitely, man. 2018 has been packed so far. We've seen a lot of good knockouts, man.
That's crazy. So yeah, moving on, we had Sean O'Malley versus Andre Sukamthath. If I said that right. Crazy fight here. Another guy who, you know, really impressed again, and, you know, he's just getting going in the UFC. But man, like, he again was so confident, real rangy, real mix-up kind of fighter. You never know what he's gonna do.
Yeah,
some crazy strikes he throws out there, like spinning back fists with the head kick follow-up.
Amazing, yeah.
And once he hurt him, yeah, he was all over him. Like in that first round, I mean, Andre was just hanging on; he could barely walk straight.
Yeah, by the end of it. Yeah.
And it's just crazy, like, crazy fight. And obviously what happened at the end, like, he goes for a head kick and just fucked up his toe. Like, I mean, he couldn't even put any weight on it.
Yeah
he was like lifting it up out of the cage to avoid him, like, even touching it when he was trying to take him down.
Yeah, I'd never seen anything like that before, where a fighter bends his leg back because he doesn't want to take a kick that badly.
Yeah.
So it was really hurting him, and you could see after the fight was over.
Yeah.
He was in pain, man. He was in tears on the ground, man. But I thought the way he threw that kick was very awkward. Like, he bends his leg in a certain way where you're not supposed to bend like that, you know? You're supposed to throw from the hip normally. That's the Muay Thai style anyway. But he was got this kind of karate clipping style at the end of his kicks. Yeah. And they got caught and really hurt him. So that was
interesting. Just with his hose, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think, Eric?
It's got to go down as one of the most legendary octagon post-fight interviews, isn't it? He's just lying flat on the back screaming.
And Joe's like, how's it going, man?
Yeah, you saw the look on Joe's face. He took full advantage of the situation. He knew it'd be funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was hilarious, isn't it? And he was even celebrating with his hands up, and the referee's calling his name as the winner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your fight tonight. I appreciate it. Thank everyone that came out to watch. Welcome to the Sugar Show, everybody!
Sugar Show O'Malley, ladies and gentlemen!
Yeah, did you see Andre? Like, he was like surprised that he lost the fight. Like, he won like the last 2 minutes. Like, he was on top because he had one leg, and he was like, "What?" He was like, "How did I not win?"
Yeah,
it's so weird. And the crowd like really loved it because he was obviously down. They were all getting behind him. Like, oh man, it's funny.
Hey, I was really impressed. Sean O'Malley, man. I've heard about this kid. I heard about the hype. He's undefeated, 10-0 now. Man, he looks good, man. He looks technically an incredible striker, man. He was throwing all sorts of spinning head kicks and shit, man. Like, really, he looked really good and really tenacious. Like, really went at it.
Yeah.
And so I was really impressed. He looked really fucking good. I have to say, man, this Andre Sukhamathas, however you say it, man, he's also a bit of an idiot, man. Like, yeah. The guy had one leg. Like, why did you fucking take him down? Yeah. Unless you were going to unleash elbow upon elbow, fucking, you know, stand him back up and try and knock him out. He was literally hopping on one leg at the end of the fight. Like,
DC was really like calling him out on it. Like, what are you doing? Saying like, your corner is telling you to stand it up. And like you said, he didn't go for it. It was like he was happy to like rest the last minute and a half on top of him. Like,
yeah,
it was disappointing.
That's the kind of beating he took, isn't it? This Sean O'Malley put it on him, man. He almost knocked him in the first and second. He had him on wobbly legs.
Yeah.
So this is a hot shot, one to look out for sure, man. He looked good, although he'll be out for a while now, isn't it?
I loved even at the end when he had just one leg and he was trying to take him down and he caught him with a spinning back fist like on the cage.
Yeah.
Just man, rocked him, like still going for the finish. Like, it's just class.
Yeah, I like the kid.
Yeah, and that got fight of the night because that was just crazy. So
yeah,
good stuff. Moving on, we had Andre Arlovsky back in the cage against Stefan Struve,
the skyscraper.
And I mean, you guys picked Stefan Struve in your predictions for this one, and I had no idea why, guys. I know these two are both a bit chinny, but Struve has just been shocking in his last few fights.
Yeah, it was a disappointing performance from him, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I picked him based on youth, man. He's like 10 years younger than Arlovsky and much bigger than him. And but the problem is, you know, everyone's been saying it, he still doesn't know how to use his range to his advantage.
Like, they're saying he doesn't jab, he doesn't move away, doesn't use any of that.
He hasn't evolved as a fighter, he stayed at the same level, and it's disappointing to see, because he's still a young guy as well.
It's crazy, yeah. And Arlovsky knew that and just, you know, stayed away from having a slugfest with him, and just got in and got that body lock on and just took him down repeatedly. They said the most takedowns in this one fight than his whole career.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
And like you said about Struve just being stupid with his decisions. Near the end, when he was like trying to like hip toss Arlovsky and just gave his leg like to him, hooking his leg around Arlovsky, like, throw me on the floor. Like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
I just couldn't believe him. But I was happy for Arlovsky, like, getting the win. And he looked good, yeah. He looked like he was back to his best. Like, you know, he's obviously not as sharp as he once was.
No.
But he's definitely up there now.
He can still roll with the best, man. He's still up there completely. Mm. Yeah. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, I was impressed. I didn't expect too much from Arlovsky. I thought maybe we'd start to see him sort of tailor off into the sunset. But actually, despite his age, he showed new facets of his game, innit? Like you said, the takedown. He'd never took a man down in his life, practically.
Yeah.
And he was mixing it up, you know, mixed martial arts. He was mixed up. So it's interesting that he's still able to learn at this pardon me, at this stage of his career. So all props to him. I didn't see that coming. But just to finish off, Stefan Struve, man, I've never been a big fan. I always thought he was a disappointment.
Mm.
I predicted him grinding out a decision whenever Arlovsky, because I just didn't see this performance from Arlovsky. But Stefan Struve's been the biggest disappointment maybe ever in the UFC. Because you look at him, you look at him and you think, whoa, he was young as well when he joined the UFC. He's been training for years, fighting at the highest level, the best contenders, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And he hasn't evolved, he hasn't got better, he's never been able to use that enormous height and reach advantage that he has. And the thing is, even in this fight, like, when he did let loose a few body kicks, they looked brutal. Like, Arlovsky felt them. But he was just so, like, inconsistent and inactive. Like, he didn't throw enough.
He kind of warmed up as it went along, did you think? I thought in the third round he was quite a close decision still, like, you know. But I thought in the
third round off well, yeah.
Yeah, it just took him too long to get going.
Yeah, too little too late, really.
Mm.
Yeah, just didn't throw enough though, Leo. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got these long limbs and he's just reluctant to throw. Like, you're the long fighter, man. Yeah. You should be pumping that jab, chewing his leg up. Like, what's the matter with him?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just feel he's very sloppy and he's quite slow. I know he's a big guy, but still, he's just not really a reasonable level of fitness, I reckon, I see in him. Like, he doesn't look like a guy who's been fighting for a long time.
What was with those marks on his back? Like, he'd having, like, some kind of suction treatment.
Yeah, he looked like he'd just come from a massage. Yeah, he'd just come from the spa.
Oh, wow.
What kind of massage?
Leaves
a mark like that?
Yeah,
mate. Yeah, he marks up so much as well. I mean, those leg kicks really fucked him up from Arlovski.
Yeah, he goes really red.
That looked disgusting, man. Yeah. That looked all veiny and shit, innit?
Yeah.
He's just going to be bleeding all night now. All through the night.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He needs to sort his life out, man. Didn't he retire anyway? Didn't he, like last time he lost, he said he was retiring against, was it Volkan?
Maybe, I don't know.
And then he comes back and he gets beat up by Arlovski. It's just like, mate, I don't know, man. Sometimes you gotta just let it go.
Yeah. I mean, there's still Travis Brown out there, you know, he could get another fight already.
Travis Brown shut his lights out in the most horrible way when they fought. He absolutely
did they fight before?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. He knocked him out with this, like, a Superman punch.
Oh,
like,
right. We won't do that again, though.
Mate, Stefan Struve is low. The fact that he's number 10, right?
Hmm.
Makes me think, like, what the fuck's going on with the heavyweight division? He's still number 10. Because he wouldn't challenge any of the top 8, like, even close. He wouldn't even come close.
Hmm. So yeah, moving on, we had the very fired up Kat Zingano returning after, like, I think a couple of years off against Ketlen Vieira, who really stepped up in this fight, got the decision victory with some good takedowns and top control on the bottom. The ref stood him up a couple of times in this one. He didn't, like, you know, there wasn't too much action going on. But I mean, she outclassed her, and Zingano did what she could from the ground, I thought. But she just didn't have it in her in this fight.
Yeah, I guess Zingano was just a bit rusty, wasn't she? And, you know, she looked in great shape, though, coming into this, man. Yeah. She looks in great physical form. But Vieira, yeah, she's got the technique, man. She knows how to handle her.
Calm as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, deserved victory from her.
Sure. Yeah, I felt Zingano just walked into a lot of shots and stuff, you know. She wasn't really thinking it out well.
Yeah.
What did you think, Eric?
I tell you what, man, this Vieira, I went for her, I predicted for her, mainly based on two things. The fact that Kat Zingano, man, she's a sloppy striker, man. Fucking sloppy striker. She's technically not very good at all. Very powerful woman. She's a powerful woman, and she's the old clinch work and stuff. But this Vieira, on her UFC debut, she tapped out Sarah McMahon. I did not see this fight, but when I heard that, like, Sarah McMahon's an Olympic medalist at wrestling.
Yeah.
When I heard that this woman tapped out Sarah McMahon, I was like, oh, Kat Zingano's got no chance, man, because Vieira could easily handle it. And then watching the fight, I was impressed, man. This Vieira's a big, strong, athletic woman. Her striking was sloppy herself, but she just kept clocking Kat Zingano with these, like, looping shots because her chin was, like, up in the air. Like, her defense was really, really poor. So Vieira was tenacious, like, she was swinging wildly and connecting her, and then she totally, totally overpowered her, I thought, up against the cage, taking her down. She's a strong, strong woman, and technically on the ground, she looked good. It's a bit wild, but technically on the ground, she looked pretty good. And she's undefeated and already the number 5 woman's featherweight very quickly in her UFC career, so fair play to her. I think Kat Zingano's part of the old guard, man. I don't think she's evolving enough to stay with the young guns, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know where she goes next. you know, but looking forward to seeing Vieira again. And yeah,
good contender right there.
I think that division needs a fresh wave of women, if you know what I mean. I think some of the more veteran are just too dimensional or a bit too rudimentary. I don't think they're good enough. They're not as skilled as the women's division is slightly lower weight classes and obviously the men.
Watch this. So yeah, there was a few more fun fights on the prelims to talk about. The main event of the prelims was a good scrap between another two girls, Ashley Yoder and Mackenzie Dern, who had a lot of hype going into this. I think she's like a high-ranked jiu-jitsu practitioner. And this was fun, man. I mean, she was winging her punches as well at this Ashley Yoder, like at the start of the fight. But she would just look like nothing was going to stop her and like really tenacious. Got several takedowns and got the decision win. We also had Benal Dariush, who got his lights clocked out by this Alexander Hernandez. I mean, he looks like a really good up-and-comer, this guy.
Yeah, man, that was a really impressive knockout, man. Yeah. Impressive. This Hernandez is one to look out for, man. Good shape, good, strong puncher, man. Really just vicious.
Knocked him stiff, didn't it?
Yeah, man. So, yeah, the kind of fighter you like to see, man, knock people out.
Mm. So, yeah,
he's absolutely shredded, isn't he? He's a big, bulky guy, this Hernandez. And Dariush is a skilled fighter, and he's been around the block a few times. So to do that, you know, you've got to stand up and take notice.
Yeah. We also had John Dodson got another decision victory. But this was a fun scrap. Pedro Munhoz put up a good fight, and Dodson again was just too quick for him, moving around and clocking him like several times. Like, it was a good close fight.
Yeah, I thought it was really impressive. Both guys looked really good. Munhoz, even though he lost, he put up a good fight against Dodson, quite back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I was a bit upset, man. This is the guy I told you, Pedro Munhoz. This is the guy who knocked out Rob Font.
And
I'm a big fan of Rob Font, and I was going for him, and this Pedro Munhoz, he knocked him out, man, in a scrap. So I was really hoping he was gonna come out on top against John Dodson. But John Dodson's such an athletic guy, isn't it, man? His muscle twitch reaction and his speed is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of what took him over the hill, and that sort of next level athleticism.
Yeah, man. He just doesn't lose a beat, does he? Like, so then we also had CB Dolloway versus Hector Lombard, and a very strange finish in this one. Lombard got disqualified for the little 1-2 combo after the buzzer, which was pretty late, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, no, that was good fun to watch. it was a shocking one. Like, I'd never seen like UFC stuck there with what to do for so long. Like, it was quite a little controversial area there.
Because he was out, innit? He didn't know where he was.
He was out cold. Stand. Like, you know, normally you'd at least consider if the fight could carry on if he's okay, but he just couldn't. He was out.
Yeah, he didn't want to carry on.
Yeah, Lombard made out it was a mistake, but, you know, come on, mate.
Mm.
There's an action, you know, like, we're changing. He threw a kick and I'm coming back. So, you in the fight.
It was brutal.
He wanted to get tucked into bed,
shouldn't it? Dolloway was like, no more. But, man, fair play to him, because that was so late. Like, it was, like, the body kick is when, like, the buzzer went. And then he just clocks him, and you could tell sort of Dolloway kind of had stopped and was just standing there, like, waiting for the release.
Yeah.
And just did not see it coming. So, man, and I was gutted. I really wanted that fight to continue, because I was like, I like seeing Lombard fight, and I wanted to see him put him away properly. But, yeah, crazy.
He just had to put that extra little bit of cube. And flavour,
isn't
it? That extra bit of spice on it, man.
A little stamp on it.
I'll tell you, man, he's probably fired up because of Romero, man. These Cubans are coming out blazing, man. They're taking the prisoners.
he just didn't care, yeah. It's just crazy. Even afterwards, he was just shrugging it off, like, yeah, whatever.
mate, I heard fight, man. I read this morning he wants to appeal the DQ.
Yeah.
He's going to try and appeal it, man. That is fucking, that is liberties.
Yeah, what can you say? Like, you know, it was just, yeah, if it was just one punch, maybe, but, you know, when it's a 1-2, like, you know, he knew what he was doing, I think.
But do you put any blame on the ref for that? Could he have intervened in a bit more of a decisive way, getting between them?
Yeah, he did just say it, didn't he? He didn't put his hands in the way or anything. So.
Yeah, but he might have got knocked out if he jumped in the way.
But he might have got it. He was like, time, but I'm not getting in there.
He knew the situation, man. He knew what was coming.
I don't know if we're just being like overly critical, but this keeps coming up, man. I think that the refereeing performances of like this year, the events this year, really like slipped, man. They've not been very good.
There's a lot of new ones.
Maybe I'm being overly critical, but I think in this case maybe he could have intervened in a bit more of a sort of assertive way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He kind of just froze there still and was like, oh, what do I do now? But yeah, I know what you mean. I think there's a lot of new refs, and you know, Rogan was complaining
there
about,
aren't they?
Yeah, Rogan was like complaining about a lot of the stand-ups that they were doing in the prelims and stuff as well. So yeah, it's a bit dodgy, but yeah, and there's this whole thing about like the rules being different in different states still. You know, if they
a nuisance, man. That's such bullshit. I can't continue.
Yeah, because you just never know. The same with the judges. I mean, it's like you don't know if they're going to give 10-8 out a bit easier or not. Like,
I don't think it's fair on the fighters as well, because if the rules are changing in each state they go to, no one seems to know the rules properly, let alone the referees don't even fucking know the rules. But, you know, it's dangerous on them as well, because they don't know what they can and can't land in there. So I think there's a higher thing than this, and it's just the fighter's health. Like, so they should just set a rule that applies everywhere, I think, you know.
I think that's so obvious as well, because you're talking about fighting.
Yeah.
You're not really thinking necessarily. A lot of it's like muscle reaction, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just like, so you're used to throwing certain things in certain positions, and you're not really, I don't think you've really got the time to be thinking of like, oh yeah, can I do this here, but I can't do that there. Like, it's so stupid, I think. It's dangerous, like you said.
Yeah. Well, you know, MMA needs to sort it out. I guess UFC need to set the standard. You know, they're the ones who are up there, but they need to set the example and put the rules out there. I don't know.
Sort these refs out.
Yeah, sort these refs out. Give some guidelines that actually stick.
So, looking back to a couple other fight nights we had recently, some big finishes coming out of these fights. We had fight night in Austin, Texas. Cowboy Cerrone v. Yancy Medeiros. Really fun fight, this one. These two looked like they were really enjoying it and just getting along in there, like high-fiving each other and just, tagging the shit out of each other. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was a good, fun fight, this one. Action-packed, like, you can see they're really good friends. Like, I've never seen it so much in a fight where two guys respect each other so much they were hugging each other and stuff, but... really action-packed. They didn't hold them back. They put on a really good fight, and Donald Cerrone was super impressive in this one. I mean, they both were. Medeiros had him, but Donald Cerrone, with what a finish when he swarmed all over him. Eric, what did you think of that fight?
Man, that was really strange on quite a lot of levels, but I do want to first out get a little respect to Cowboy Cerrone, man. With that victory, which he pulled straight out of his ass, he's actually tied with the most wins, Michael Bisping, on 20, and he's got the most finishes in UFC history. So I got to give respect to the Cowboy, man. Those are some serious numbers. He's been doing it for a long, long time. You said, man, I actually thought it was kind of cool, but then I thought it was too much. Like, it was too much respect, the sort of loving high fives and hugs going around. Like, I thought Yancy Medeiros was a bit naive on that. I thought he should have been a little bit more like, let's get down to business kind of attitude.
Yeah.
I'm not questioning the competitiveness, because I know they both throw down, but it felt strange to me. Then it got to the levels of ridiculousness. You know, after he got knocked out, after Kelvin knocked him out, he ran over hugging and kissing his grandma. You see that?
Yeah.
She was like cheering or something, or shouting something, like, you know, And then Cerrone kind of pointed her out, and he darted over that fence quicker than anyone I've ever seen. He's like running, it's like running from the police. Like, he's like, oh shit. Nearly took out, he nearly took out the grandma with his momentum. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I even saw a kiss on the lips go down.
Yeah. It was really awkward, but it was cool to see. It was like, you know, whatever, you know. It was just like making friends again straight away, you know. But maybe, you know, grandma will have him over for tea one of these days or something, you know.
Yeah,
I bet she's had him round a few times.
Cerrone better be worried.
Yeah, man. I was going for Jensen Medeiros on this fight. I predicted him to win, and I wanted him to win. And he did okay, man. I thought, like, once he did get rocked by Cowboy, it was only, like, in the last 30 seconds it all really down. But I thought he could have been a bit more savvy, defensive-wise. I thought he was ready to sort of start scrapping, where he should have been trying to recover a bit better. And Cowboy just took advantage of that. And he finished him with, like, 2 seconds left of the round, so... Fair play to Cowboy, man. He's a big fan favourite in this podcast, isn't it? We all love what he brings to the table every time, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And he needed that one. He needed to get back in the win column, like, after his last few performances. So, yeah, good luck to him.
And he said that he actually wants to drop down and make a serious run at the lightweight division again.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. What's your take on that? Do you think he's better suited at lightweight rather than welterweight?
I think so, if he can do it, yeah. I think so. I think there's a lot of big heavy hitters at welterweight.
And, yeah.
He doesn't take a punch as good as he used to. So, yeah, I'd like to see him slim down a bit more and have that advantage, you know, the height and reach at lightweight.
Yeah, I agree. I think he had the big advantage at that weight, and I think that was better for him. But I think it's a lot of strain on your body at the same time to cut all that weight all the time. And as you get older, it is harder.
The more you do it, the more you go up and down as well.
Yeah, but I do think, you know, if he can... get to that weight quite easily, then yeah, I would say go for it.
That's a tough division to be going into, though, isn't it, man? That lightweight division at the moment is pretty meaty with killers at the minute.
Yeah. All the divisions are there at the moment.
Yeah. Cerrone's just shown he's always going to be there, do you know what I mean? He's always going to be in and around that top five, so...
Yeah,
it's a really good performance. Another big performance... Derek Lewis, the Black Beast.
Oh, yeah.
On the brink of death, probably losing a decision against Tabora. He was very impressive as well. Again, you know, coming off that loss to Vadum, I thought he looked really good in that fight. And it took an absolute smasher from Lewis to turn the tide at the end of this fight, right at the end of the third round. It was crazy.
That's it. Lewis always has that in his pocket. Like, he can always just throw that sledgehammer of a fist onto any heavyweight and knock him out. So it's so cool to see, man.
Yeah. And again, he needed that win as well himself. So, yeah, he's right back up in there.
Yeah. And has he been calling out Ngannou recently as well?
Yeah,
so that could be an interesting fight.
That would be, yeah. What do you think, Eric?
Another fucking massive fan favorite, man. We all got love for the Black Beast. I have to say though, before I go into it, like Tabora, man, gotta give the man his props. He was fighting a really efficient, clever fight, and he was gonna win. He looked like he was gonna easily win a decision. And I have to say, man, I love the way. Derek Lewis's corner were just like screaming at him before the third round. He's like, "You gotta let it out, man! It's the third round. You gotta put it on him." And he did, man. And that's it. Once he connects, man, he's only got to connect clean once, man.
Yeah.
He's absolutely taking people's heads off. It was a series of left and right hooks that he was unleashing on him up against the cage, like damaging shots. He dropped him. Couple of shots on the ground, and that was all she wrote. And then it was off to another legendary post-fight interview from the man.
Yeah, it was too funny, man. What did he say about his wife? He was like, "I'm going deep tonight.
I'm going deep tonight." Oh my god, that was too much, man. Every time, awesome. Man. Such a funny guy.
Yeah, and you
better
know,
get ready, girl, because I'm going deep.
Yeah, like the big Texan as well, like winning in Texas, like, you know, you could tell he enjoyed that. And yeah, fucking hell. But yeah, that's what happens when you fight Black Beast.
Nah, that's why I love the Black Beast.
Yeah, man, and he put Jimmy Smith in his place as well, didn't it?
Yeah. What did he say? I know you're new around here, but that's what I do.
Yeah, man. Oh. He's just pure jokes, man, isn't it? I love him. He's a quality guy, man, and so much power and actually so much heart and endurance, man, because he went through a couple of rough rounds, man, and he was clearly losing. He got his head together. He knew he had to come up with a flurry of big shots to have any chance to win the fight, and that's exactly what he did. So, well played, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love Black Beast. I think he's got really good takedown defense, and he's good at getting up to his feet for such a big guy. So, yeah, I think he's pretty well-rounded, and I think he'll get much better as time goes on.
Yeah. So, yeah, moving on. Another fight night, this one from Orlando, Florida. Wasn't the best card, but some interesting results on this one. We had Emmett versus Stevens in the main event. Very controversial finish in this one. What do you guys think?
Yeah, man, I don't know. It was a tough call at the end there, wasn't it? Mm. Like, another awkward situation for the ref here, man. I thought it was pretty illegal to me, man. I thought he got hit in the head with the knee while he was down. He was pretty much done for anyway, but still, you know, that shouldn't have happened. And
you know, sometimes they're a bit lenient once they're already going out, you know, with, you know, even with shots to the back of the head.
It happens quite often. Yeah, you do see refs just give them the benefit of the doubt because it's so fast at the time when it's happening.
Yeah, but you just can't knee or kick a downed opponent. He should have. You reckon he should have just stopped it there and
DQ'd it? I think rules are rules, man. You know, you got to stop it. You know, you got to be more professional than that and not land those kind of things. Mm. You know.
I'm not hating on Stevens at all, but I'm hating on the refs, man. I thought this was an absolute fucking disgrace.
Mm.
Wait, like, what an obvious illegal blow. Like, I can't believe it was even debatable. Like, there's some people debating it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think it touched him or whatever fucking Dominic Cruz and Tingy were saying, man. Some sort of Bisping. Bisping let himself down, man. It was the most blatant illegal shot. The fact that it grazed him is really by. Like, it was an illegal shot that he threw. Stevens was, like, afterwards saying that, oh, it was, I don't know what rules we were fighting. Like, the ref said it was the new rules. So, you know, if it's one hand down, it doesn't count as a grounded. Mate, he had his knee down. He was down. The bit was down.
That's just down.
And he just fucking launched the knee at him. And it clipped him. It definitely made contact. Like, I just thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty tough on Emmett. That's his first loss as well now.
Yeah,
it was rude. And the thing is, man, to analyse the fight, Stevens did really, really well, and I'm actually really happy for Stevens, to be honest. I got a lot of respect for him, so I like him, so I was happy that he won. I just think that, like, the refs and then the post-fight analysis of what's going on is sloppy, man. I think they're just completely fucking out of it, man. That was an illegal blow, like, clear as day in my eyes. If you win the fight with an illegal blow, you get DQ'd.
Yeah, we'll see what they do about it. Maybe they'll hook up like a rematch sign to try and make up for it. But
yeah,
it's a bit sloppy.
Just think there's too much incompetence with the refs at the minute, honestly. Like, I'm being more critical or seeing more mistakes, or I just, every event seems to, someone's dropping the ball, ref up.
Do you think this is all because Big John's gone to Bellator? It's like the teacher has left the classroom and they're all just like not knowing what to do. Yeah,
I guess so. It's like these referees just don't know, isn't it? No one knows. So they need to get a grip and get someone to lead this thing.
I think they need John back. That's what I'm saying. Big John back.
Big old John. Yeah, come back.
Too many new faces, isn't it?
Yeah. Another good fight on this card was Ilir Latifi, who I think we all had him as a big underdog in this one against OSP. And Latifi actually finished him with a standing guillotine. Like, I mean, submitting OSP is pretty impressive.
That was impressive, man. OSP is a top contender, and he's been on a run, man. Yeah. He had three submissions in a row.
Mm.
And he looks lethal. You know, he's the guy who gave John Jones his best fight. And Latifi came in here and took him out. Like, he fucking hooked him twice in the face really hard before he caught that choke. And I remember when, as he gripped it tight, OSP tapped, but he still passed out afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, it was that tight. You know, as soon as he tapped, he passed out. And he just dropped to the ground, man. It was pretty brutal.
Yeah. Decisive.
Really decisive, man. Eric, what did you think?
Man, OSP was one of our big boys of last year, man. One of our male fighter nominated fighters of last year. He was doing so well, and heavy favourite, I thought, going into this fight. And Latifi, my God, you know, he stopped all the time. He looked so incredibly, like, fierce and dangerous. Like, I don't think anyone wants to get in the octagon with him now.
Mm.
Those hooks he landed on OSP were filth. And then he just wrapped his neck up, and within seconds, his lights have just absolutely been shut off, and he just fucking let him drip to the floor. He looked like he fucking took his soul with him. It was incredibly impressive. I don't think anyone saw that coming. Even though DC was saying that Latif is one of the best wrestlers he's ever trained with, just because of his strength. But wow, yeah, that was hot shit.
Yeah, very impressive.
Even called DC out there, wasn't it? A fair play to Latifi.
He called DC out.
Yeah, man. He said he wants a title shot. Like, after DC fights Stipe, whether it's light heavyweight, he wants to fight him. Called him out.
Yeah,
like,
but DC
he was
weren't.
Commentating it. DC was right there.
DC weren't interested, though. He just kind of shrugged it off.
I don't blame him.
He went, "Oh, I got bigger fish to fry."
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he said, man. He's talking about Stipe, man. He's like, "Fuck that."
That was a good response, to be fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got bigger fish to fry. Which
yeah.
He does.
I missed that call out, but yeah, that is shocking. He's got a lot more wins to rack up before he gets anywhere near it.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Fucking hell.
Oh, I don't know, mate. I think he'd cause DC problems, genuinely. Yeah. He's impossible to take down. DC would obviously be a clear favourite, but I tell you what, man, he would not be easy. And the thing is, Latifi and Gustafsson, they would never fight. They're like bestie buddies over there in that Swedish gym.
Yeah, they train.
So,
Yeah.
So Latifi's like after DC, man. Apparently Latifi's like on a big confidence high because they trained together, him and DC, and Latifi, like, he had some success wrestling wise and grappling with DC.
Yeah.
Should be interesting. But there's no money in that. No, DC's being clever. He's like, why would I take that fight? There's no money in it. Sadly.
Yeah. And I still think Latifi's gotta beat people like Glover and, you know, maybe obviously not Gustafsson, but, like, I know he trains with Manoa as well, so, like, you can't fight Manoa. But he's going to have to, man.
Oh, really?
Like, he's not going to get the title shot above his mates, like, who are ahead of him.
He's got to fight someone.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he's on a good run there, I think. But that's what I'm saying. I don't see him just getting the DC fight. There's just no way. Like, you know, he's got to win a couple more.
Yeah, man.
So next time we'll be back soon for the big one, 223, April 7th from, is it Madison Square Garden? I think so, it is, yeah. It's
the biggest fucking fight, man.
The
biggest fucking fight in MMA.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest card of the year, probably. It's going to be hard to beat this one. We've got the Tony v. Khabib match for the real lightweight championship.
Mm-hmm.
And the return, the rematch of JJ coming back to fight Rose.
Wow, what a rematch.
It's just going to be crazy. And it's a stacked card
as well. Unbelievably high level, man. I can't wait.
Mm. I mean, I thought that should have been the main event. What did you guys think?
Each could easily be its own main event, but to have them both on one card, just
hard,
asking for an amazing night fight, man.
Khabib Tony is just going to be insane.
Yeah.
You have to.
I think the UFC's given enough fucking leeway to the women. Because it's time to be real.
Yeah. You reckon Conor will be there for this one? Do you reckon he'll be watching?
Yeah, they're saying he'd probably be there in the front row somewhere. Maybe.
Holding his belt. Chatting shit.
I hope so, man. They need to bring him back in.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's going to be funny whoever
he
wins.
He should be back, yeah.
It's going to be funny whoever wins what they say afterwards in that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll definitely be calling him out.
Yeah, because you also got Lobov on the card, don't you? So maybe McGregor will be there to support him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Lobov, Caceres, yeah.
Yeah.
So stack card, you've got Michael Chiesa v. Anthony Pettis as well.
Good fight.
Really and good fight. Joe Lazon coming back again, fighting like some new guy, I don't know his name. yeah, it's going to be epic.
Some sick fights, man. Michael Chiesa, Andy Pettis, that's an incredible fight. That's sick. Conor better be there, man. He should be there. Mm. I fear he might be too busy, which would be a shame. But also, man, what is it with this Artem Lobov, man? The only way he's still on the fucking UFC roster.
What are you chatting about?
Because he's Conor McGregor's buddy, man.
He had one of the fights of the year with Cub Swanson.
He did.
Year.
Cub Swanson, yes, he did. But that was mainly him taking licks and being able to take it, you know?
No, he won the first couple of rounds. He looked really good and then he slowed down. But
he did look alright. He did alright in that fight. But he's lost so many fights, bruh. Like, really? You keep guys who lose 5 out of 6 fights or whatever? Yeah. Like,
well,
ridiculous.
I think of him as like the new Chris Lieben. Like, you know, he's one of those guys who are like really fun to watch because he can take a beating and just charge in all the time. So yeah, I think he's just fun to watch and that's it really.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
And we got Carolina coming back against Felice Herrig. That should be a scrap.
Technical as well. That is a technical fit. That should be very good.
Mm.
Yeah.
She's such a fucking babe, isn't it, Karolinka?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're yeah, she's pretty hot. She's pretty hot. And Herring as well, she's okay, you know, for as far as fighters go.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Oh, as fighters, yeah, beautiful women as fighters. But that Carolina's really special, man. She's a sort of sexy twinkle in her eye, man.
Oh man. Alright, cool. So yeah, thanks for listening and we'll be back again.
Yeah, man. Been a good night. Good podcast. Thanks, guys. Great night.
Make sure you tune into the next one. I bet you feel so high. Got your head in the cloud, but you still come around like, I seen what you started. I know what you promised. You're on and you're popping like, soon as you put your feet to the ground, I lace you with a packet. I allow some of that. Was the same back then as you are now. So you stick around. Come on.